Om Shanti. And welcome everyone to this Murli revision with Sister Janti. I don't think our Dee Dee needs introduction, does she? No. And for many of us who have been watching this Murli revision regularly online, today is a special treat to be in person with Sister Janti, isn't it? So for those who don't know me, I'm Sister Judy from Halifax, Canada, and I think we hear from you for the first half hour, and then I have a series of questions for you. So welcome.
Thank you. Om Shanti. It's lovely to see you all together. Yesterday, even though it was 800, it somehow got lost within 11,000. And so it's really nice to see all of you together now. And the feeling that I'm left with, above all, is Baba's love. And how Baba expressed his love at seeing the children come from far away to celebrate. Baba was happier to be celebrating the children's birthday rather than his own. Baba was so happy that he was giving us trayfuls of happiness to take away. Baba was so loving that he reminded us that you are the ones who had victory last Kalpa, and so of course it's you who have to attain victory again. You did it before, you're going to do it now, and you'll do it each and every cycle. And of course, the special blessing of love. Just be lost in love, and that will just enable you to cross all obstacles and become an easy effort maker. Easy and light, speed, so that it's a fast speed to get to where you need to be. So, in a word, the whole Murli was love. And then, of course, the detail, Baba reminding us that we've come to celebrate his birthday, but he's come to celebrate our birthday. But also Baba reminding us of why Baba says that it's your birthday too. Because from the moment that Baba incarnates, from that moment, then it's also the time that the yajna begins. And with the start of the yajna, then you need Brahmins to care for the yajna. And so the Brahmins take birth at the same time. And the totally unique situation where, although God is beyond birth and death, God's coming is an incarnation, and so he needs the body, and so he incarnates in the body of Brahma Baba. And so it's Brahma Baba's birth, but it's also the same time because all of you are part of the yajna, and the yajna was established then, so your birth is also connected with the birth of the yajna. So Baba connecting all the dots and explaining why we say that this is also our birthday. And so a totally unique situation where the father and the children all celebrate the same day, the same time. You can have a child born on the same day, but the year would definitely be different. The year would be 20 years, 30 years, 40 years on, but here the same time exactly. And of course, Baba also just expressing his love, seeing all the children and how they've come with zeal and enthusiasm. And Baba reminding us that the word for festival in Hindi is utsav, and the word for enthusiasm is utsav, and so zeal and enthusiasm. And so you're the ones who know how to really celebrate, and celebrate not just for one day, but yes, the memorial is one day, but your experience in Sangam Yuga is absolutely zeal and enthusiasm through the whole of Sangam Yuga. And within that, Baba, checking with the children and asking, do you always have zeal and enthusiasm? Or is it that it comes and goes? It goes up and down. But if it's going up and down, then Brahman life becomes difficult. Because just as breath for a human being is the source of life, the source of life for a Brahman is zeal and enthusiasm. And it's a fact, if you run dry on enthusiasm, then everything in Brahman life is a challenge. And if you maintain your enthusiasm, then everything is very natural and very, very easy. And Baba, again, picking up the comparison with bhakti and how they have a fast for one day, one night, and their fast is simply to stop eating food for just 24 hours, maybe. But your fast is, what is the food you're feeding your brain, your buddhi? And it's the fast of avoiding, renouncing, not just avoiding, but eliminating waste thoughts, negative thoughts, impure thoughts. So that is the real stage of purity that you have made a promise for. And so that complete stage of purity in which the intellect is totally in charge and not allowing any of these other types of thoughts to come, this is the stage that Baba would like to see for all his children. That is fulfilling the vow of total purity. And again, Baba taking that up a bit further and talking about how vritti, attitude, and Baba's... Well, let me explain first vritti. I was fascinated when I heard many years ago that the word vritti is connected with vrittant, and vrittant is an event. But what it's saying is that attitude, vritti, is what leads to an event. And so in between, what's happening is from the vritti, the attitude, comes the drishti. You all know what that means. And from drishti comes kriti, my actions. And of course then my actions create the world that I create for myself. And so Baba talking about vritti a great deal. Pure, clean, elevated attitude. And so do I have that? And it's connected then of course with my drishti. And if my drishti is pure, clean, elevated, then my drishti is also going to be the same. And in that, somebody must have asked Baba, written to Baba, and said that it's okay, but when I get into action, so that means when I'm sitting in yoga, my vritti, my drishti is fine. But when I get into action and engagement with others, then I see the face. And when I see the face, my attitude and my drishti changes. And Baba's very sweet response to that question, well, I'm seeing you now, and I'm seeing your face, but how do you know whether I'm looking at your forehead or I'm looking at your eyes? They're together. And so what you have to do is just make that little switch so that you look at the center of the forehead and you stay in that consciousness for yourself. I, that shining star in the center of the forehead, looking out as a soul, being able to do whatever I need to do in that awareness of a soul. And if this is my practice, and it happens through practice, because there hasn't been this practice for a very long time, thousands of years. And so now, in just this short space of time of Sangam Yuga, I have to develop this practice of being the soul, speaking in that awareness. Have you noticed for yourself that the tone of your voice changes when you're soul conscious? And if you're not soul conscious, then it can go through many, many different phases. But in soul consciousness, it's very calm, it's very steady, it's a very stable tone. So in soul consciousness, with that practice, then when you do come into engagement, then you're still going to see the other as the soul. And then, Papa, picking us up on more things connected with that. And Baba saying that, well, how is it that sometimes you talk about one individual's specialities and say that they're very good, they have this particular speciality, or you prefer this, you like this, or you don't, whatever. And so, what is it that's making you say this? And then you say, it's not attachment, it's just because they are like that, so I'm just commenting on that. And Baba's very beautiful explanation, that whatever speciality someone has in Sangam Yuga, it's Prabhu Prasad, the holy offering that comes from God. Prabhu, God, Prasad. It's, you know, we call it Toli, but generally speaking in the world, in Bharat, they call it Prasad, holy food that's been offered to God and is filled with that love from God and then is offered to us. So very interesting aspect to think about. Whatever gifts I have in Sangam Yuga, or whatever specialities I see in others, it's a gift that God has given to them. And so how come my attention gets diverted away from the bestower, the one who has given them that particular quality, and instead of remembering the bestower, I'm remembering the one who has received it. And so how is that going to benefit me? My intellect has been diverted from there to here. And so not to be thinking about that individual, but to be thinking about Baba, the bestower. And Baba explaining how even that sort of connection with another individual comes because there's still the consciousness of I and my and mine. And that one word, I, if it stems from body consciousness, then there's going to be things that are not right. And the lovely explanation that, okay, so you don't have the big evil things that are very negative, and you've dealt with those big, big issues. But all of those big vices have their own progeny, and so there's all the little ones that are still there. And it's like the situation where in a family, and it's something that I don't know whether you've observed, but I've observed it often enough, and the parents who are in Gyan, they haven't had much attachment to their children. They've been very detached, they fulfill their responsibilities, but they made sure that they're really trustees. But when it's time for the grandchildren to come, they get so engaged with the grandchildren and so attached to the grandchildren that it really becomes a problem. Instead of giving time to Baba, they'll give time to grandchildren instead. And to a certain extent, it's familial responsibility that their children demand or expect, but definitely their own attachment is also quite clearly visible. And so the same thing, where things happen and it's little, and we don't recognize the damage that they'll create. And we think it's okay, it's not such a big deal, I'll deal with it later. But of course, that progeny is the progeny of I and body consciousness. And so Baba commenting that because there's still this question of I and the progeny that's there, then out of the little things, big things can also come. But okay, even if it's not arrogance straight out, but then where somebody says something and I take it very badly, I'm hurt by it, I'm offended by it, then I get angry. Why do they say this? They shouldn't have said this. It's not true. It's not like that. And so all the defense mechanisms pop up and then things begin to go wrong. And so that stage where I've eliminated I and am truly soul conscious, the consciousness of the eternal soul rather than the consciousness of the body, then I'm going to be safe. Otherwise I won't. And Baba also picking us up on language. And it's a fact that my attitude creates the language that I use. And the language that I use then reinforces whatever I believe about myself. And so if I'm saying, well, I'll try and do something, or I'll do it later, or, well, maybe I can, instead of really that determined thought that this is something that I must do, I have to do, and so Baba bringing that aspect of determination and a promise. And Shivratri is one of those festivals where there's the awakening through the whole night, and for us the awakening of Gyan, and also the fasting that Baba's picked up on. But the third aspect of Shivratri in Bhakti is also that commitment, that promise made to God for transformation. And to what extent people take it seriously or not is another matter, but also another aspect of Bhakti that Baba picked up on. There's always the association of sacrifice for Shiva. And of course that's been totally misinterpreted in Bhakti. And they offer animal sacrifice and things that are really completely out of line. Out of line of even Bhakti, because even Bhakti believes in non-violence. But then they have actual sacrifice for Shiva. And Baba is saying that, well, they've misinterpreted that. But it's actually you and your sacrifice of the consciousness of I that's actually going to make the transformation possible. And so the Bhakti idea, a whole different thing. And the determined thought, the promise that I make to Baba that I will become Sattva Pradhan, I will become completely pure. And within that, Baba's reminder, is it easy or is it difficult? Well, if you have Baba's love and you're experiencing love for Baba, who's had that experience where when you're deeply in love with Baba, then nothing seems difficult? It's a fact. And those who didn't put up their hands, maybe you're just feeling a bit shy, but look back. And I'm sure you would not be here today having made the journey of whether it's 1 year, 2 years or 30 years, 40 years for some sitting in this gathering. You've made this journey through all these years and you're still here. And even the journey from your place to Madhavan, even that's a challenge. So it couldn't have happened without the experience of Baba's love. And so just keep that flame of love alive. And the two words in Hindi, of course, they connect up very well. Mohabbat, love, and mehnat, labor. And so there's either the feeling of labor or there's the feeling of love. And when there's the feeling of love, there's no sense of any labor that comes in the picture. And so sacrifice the I of ego, of arrogance, and Baba's love is there to take, and with that experience of Baba's love, then yes, very, very easy to have a journey in Sangam Yuga, in which there's nothing but love and happiness and fast speed, because everything gets out of the way, it just goes, it's easy. And so Baba's blessing, it's a very special blessing from yesterday's Murli. Let your life be one which is filled with love and no labour, so that you're an easy, natural effort maker. Sometimes we get scared by the word effort, and yes, it's a bit heavy, but effort is actually subtle attention. And when there's subtle attention, then there's no labour involved. Sangam Yuga shouldn't be one of labour. And then Baba remembering all the children who are sitting far away but have their eyes focused on the webcast and Baba online, and the ones who are sitting there in front of Baba, Baba's giving them love anyway. So Baba's got a special place in his heart for those who are sitting far away and having that connection with Baba, the connection of love. And Baba, of course, giving a lot of love to those souls also. But then further, when Baba was talking about the drishti and how easy it is to keep the drishti pure and elevated and natural, Baba was specifically asking the Kumars, and there was again Baba's love, Baba reaching out to the Kumars to tell them, it's okay, it's easy, just practice soul consciousness and it'll be fine. And then through the rest of the Murli also, again Baba reminding us that it's you who has done it before, and so you're the ones who are going to do it again now. And so don't have doubts in yourself. And as I was hearing Baba talk about doubts in the self, I was thinking that it really is such a big thing where through our life, pre-gyan, there's always been people to tell us, you can't do it, it's not possible, and so on and so on. And so it's a voice that's in our heads, that's been recorded by hearing it so often from others, that we then begin to tell ourselves that also. You can't do it, it's not possible, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work. And Baba's saying, but you're now in front of Baba. Baba trusts you, Baba has faith in you. So what you need to do is to have faith in yourself. And with that faith in yourself, that yes, you are that child of the last Kalpa, then just keep remembering that, then that faith is going to lead you to your stage of victory. And that's not so difficult. And when Baba's also talking about the drishti and the vritti, the attitude, Baba's saying, well, it's double results. A, for you, you're going to be able to move forward, but also the atmosphere that's created just by attitude and vision, you can change that atmosphere and make it pure and powerful and lift it up for everyone. Otherwise, sometimes what happens is that we allow others to influence us, and so our stage then goes down. But in fact, keep Baba with you, and that the power of that is going to reach out and help the whole atmosphere change also. So double results with one effort of just making sure I keep Baba as my companion. Another very lovely blessing from Baba, that this is the time to keep Baba as your companion. And as you keep Baba as your companion, so then you're with Baba through that process of transformation, and Baba is then going to also be with you to take you home again. So all the time, Sangam Yuga, together, together, together. And Baba's there with you through all of that. And I also like very much what Baba said to the Sevadharis of Rajasthan. And Baba talking about contentment and how whatever service it is you do, if it's service that's made others happy and given them some contentment, you get blessings. And that is a very easy way to make effort. Dua. The word is different to vardhan. Vardhan is really blessings that come from above. And dua, when you've helped somebody, then they give you their good wishes from their heart and the blessings from their heart. It's not just good wishes, it's more than just good wishes. It's more than thanks. And so, I don't know of any other word to be able to translate it, but it's filled with gratitude, but it includes that spiritual element, not just a human element. Baba saying how that aspect of just giving and receiving those blessings is a way to have jnana and yoga and service and dharana, everything all together just in this one sentence. So let your life be one in which you're giving others those blessings and good wishes from your heart, but whatever you do, you're also able to receive those from everyone. And so then with Rajasthan, that you've earned all those blessings from everybody's hearts because you've done so much good work. And it opens up a whole new vision of what service is and how to do service. Because it's not just giving lectures or classes, but think about the whole system of Madhuban, whether it's accommodation, whether it's transport, whether it's cooking, whether it's cleaning, whether it's chapatis, whether it's vegetable cutting, whatever it is. Just imagine if any one of those pieces of the jigsaw puzzle were out of place, what would your Madhuban experience be like? And so transport, you're not getting the transport you need. If there were no buses going between here and Pandavabhavan, what would you feel? How many waste thoughts would you have? And every time things do go well and run smoothly, whoever's done that work, you're giving them blessings from your heart that they've done that. So it really is a very beautiful vision of how everyone, but everyone, can do service in some form or another and earn those blessings. And the thing about being able to give blessings, give good wishes to all, it actually involves a lot of cleaning inside. Because unless I'm totally clean inside, how can I give good wishes and blessings? And so this is why Baba is saying that it involves all of these subjects, your understanding, using jnana in your life, but also your power of yoga to be able to clean out whatever there is from the past so that you're able truly to give good wishes for all. And if there's a little bit of toxin that still remains from any relationship in your heart, then you're not going to be able to give good wishes. It's going to spoil that also. So yoga, to become completely clean, my dharana, my humility, my purity, that's involved in giving blessings. And also then, yes, it's service, being able to serve in that way. So many, many blessings in yesterday's Murli. It's Shivratri, so a gift for everyone. And so many blessings as the gift from Baba.
Om Shanti, thank you. Wow, do you think it's Prabhu Prasad, Sister Janti's gift to be able to remember the whole Murli? That's wonderful, thank you for that. I hadn't been in that room for 3 years and I didn't know what it would feel like last night. And I just sat and soaked in Baba's vibration. It was like the days when he was there. And then I saw you on stage and you have the screen in front of you where you're watching Baba, but then you have the sea of faces in Diamond Hall. What's the experience like for you?
It was very interesting because especially when the recording was showing the faces of all the people who are no longer here in physical form, my eyes were picking out those people. And there was Uncle Steve, Auntie Betty, and my own Lokic father was there, and Daddy Prakashmani, of course, and when Baba spoke to Daddy Prakashmani, was very beautiful, that Daddy would make us dance, and her face was glowing. And she was already unwell at that time, 2003, but when Baba spoke to her, she was just so happy, and it was really beautiful to see. So that was very interesting, and at times I had to check, am I seeing a recording of the past scene, or is it this scene? And it was more towards the end that this scene was coming. But that was also lovely, because sometimes people are sitting so far away you can't recognize them, but when you get a close-up on the screen, you see them so clearly. So it was very lovely.
One of the questions for the English-speaking world is that zeal and enthusiasm are almost the same thing. So for Baba to use those two words, are there two different Hindi words, and are they the same too?
Utsav, utsa, that's straight, that's enthusiasm. And umang also conveys an idea of it is enthusiasm, so it is very similar, but there are two different words. And so I think zeal is maybe the motivation to do something more. And the word enthusiasm in English is lovely because it has the word theo in between. Entheism. And theo is God in Greek. And so when you have God in the picture, then you can maintain enthusiasm. And if you remove God, then you don't have that same enthusiasm. And so not just the subject of God abstract, but Baba's love. And so when there's love in your heart, then the enthusiasm you feel when there's that love, whether it's for self-progress or service, is very clear.
So quite similar even in
very
Hindi.
Very similar.
Okay, and yet Baba uses both.
Yes,
maybe it's
Baba
a double
uses
stamp.
Both. So this is why we use two words also.
Okay.
Umang and utsa.
I know when you looked around the room and you said it's the breath of Brahman life, I think we all know that. How when it's there, life is easy. When it's not, it's not. Tell us a bit about how you keep your zeal and enthusiasm going.
Baba's Murli. I find that Baba's Murli is always stimulating. And when things are not going as I would like them to go, then if there are waste thoughts that come in about people involved in everything, the next day I read Baba's Murli and Baba's got an answer there. It happened so often during the last few years especially, and it was very lovely that Baba would give me an answer through the Murli. So that's how it keeps me going. And what I find is that if I actually study the Murli rather than just read the Murli quickly, it's such a big difference. Because when you actually study the Murli, you can see why Baba is saying something, and then the next sentence and the next sentence and the next sentence all fits in very well. If you're just quickly glancing through it, then, and not that quickly even maybe, you know, why is Baba telling me I have to be Sattva Pradhan again? But there's a reason. And it's like with the Avyakt Murli. Again, if you study the Murli, Baba is using such a systematic way of explaining everything. And so I love Baba's logic, and I love the thread of the Murli and where Baba's coming from. Especially this Murli yesterday. Again, go back to it and just read it with that attention, and you'll see how Baba's first explaining God's incarnation, the establishment of the Yajna, how that's connected with Brahman life, the role of Brahma Baba. Step by step by step, Baba's explaining everything. Then something about what happens in bhakti and how we transform that. If you keep your intellect stimulated with Baba Smriti, then the zeal and enthusiasm continues, and whatever other people are doing or not doing is then not such a big thing anymore.
Yeah, wonderful, thank you. This topic of our speciality being a Prabhuprasad, a gift from God, and the subtle checking required to make sure that I doesn't creep in there somewhere. He was talking in the context of looking at others and being attracted. But looking at myself and the self-respect that each of us is reclaiming at this time, isn't it wonderful to be able to have the pure pride in the speciality when we finally find it in ourselves? How do we balance that? I mean, yes, Baba gave it to me. How do I hold a speciality so that I feel the pure self-respect within it, but I doesn't creep in there? What's the kind of subtle checking for that? And yeah, how do you know when I's crept in?
Well, first is that many of us came to Baba when we were pretty young, and so, but even those who came a little older, just ask yourself, what was I like before Gyan? And where am I today? That's enough to tell me that it's a gift from God. Really it is. And if I did have that particular quality before, well, can I still say that it's a gift from God? Well, I'll share a little story that some of you have heard me talk about before, but I'm sure Bodhi won't mind me mentioning her name. Most of you know her, and she'll be coming in, I think, tomorrow, the day after, something like that. But Bodhi was out walking with Daddy in Oxford. Daddy used to love walking and regularly walked for 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And especially in Oxford, she wouldn't plan it, but she'd just see who was in reception and then pull them and say, do you have time? Do you want to come for a walk? And Wadi's Hindi is practically non-existent even today. And Daddy Janki's English is not so brilliant even until the end. And especially at that time, I don't know how they communicated, but they did. And that just shows the power of love. Mm. And Wadi says to Daddy, Daddy, you were always generous and giving and concerned for the well-being of others. So how can you say that Baba has given you these qualities as a gift? Because from what we read, you know, 2 years old she's chanting the name of Rama, 8 years old she's going into the villages to serve people. She's also visiting patients at home to read them from the scriptures and taking them water that she's prayed over to give them well-being. And many of them do recover with all of this. So, you know, by the time you're 8, you've done all of that. And then there's a lot more you do later. So her point was, you were always caring and giving and generous and so on. These were your qualities. And that is response. These were the qualities that Baba blessed me with last kalpa. And so in my last birth, before Gyan, there were just a few remnants of that remaining. Mm. And so she would not accept that this was her quality. It was even then the remnants of what Baba had given her last kalpa. And so that's how to see my qualities. If I did have specialities pre-Gyan, then that's the way to look at them. That it's starting point at Sangam Yug. And so even in my last birth, I had the good fortune of keeping a little of that.
Hmm. What does the soul get to claim then as their own?
The happiness that God has given me this gift.
Okay.
And now that God has given me this gift, I use it to create more fortune. And so God's not going to take that for himself. He's given it to me, and I'm creating my fortune now with that gift from God.
So I get to enjoy watching how the speciality is being used?
That too, but also knowing that I'm being given the opportunity, what Baba said yesterday, let life become easy now through effort, and the fortune will be for 21 births, no labor at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'm also creating that fortune for the future.
It feels like hidden in what you're saying is a secret to the easy effort making. Like, what does it actually look like to be an easy effort maker? And it feels like you've described that a bit by saying, I just have whatever I have, God has given me, and it's being used. He's using it. But I get the fortune.
And also that with all the fortune that God has given me now, there's something I need to do to give Baba the return. And so what I'm doing is trying to give Baba the return.
Mm-hmm.
That's another part of it.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to think about this. Okay. Another question that came up was around, so love and labor. Where there's love, there's no labor, we know that. And the way is to be absorbed in love. And Baba always says, you're all equal in love. Number wise.
No. Last week, Baba said there are three stages of love.
Oh, yes, he did. You're right. You're right. We're not equal. There's three stages. You're right. So to be absorbed in love, of course, and many of us still labor. And deep in our heart, we know there's lots and lots of love for Baba. But it's not always felt at the times when it's most needed. So tell us a bit about how to work with that.
I think it's so important, just if I want to experience Baba's love, the only way is to be soul conscious. I think that's the key there. Body conscious, and I see all the problems. And in soul consciousness, I see Baba. And let me just stay with that, because in the next bit that Baba said, the instrument that you use is Manmanabhav.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that stage where I'm soul conscious, I can connect with Baba, then that love is there, just instantly. Yes. It's when we allow other things to get in the way that we don't have that experience. So whether it's attraction to human beings or distaste for human beings or a little bit of aversion to someone or another, these interfere with my stage of soul consciousness and also my love for Baba.
Really, it's to be without desire even to have a great experience. So clean.
When we sit in yoga, you're not, if you have that desire, I want to have an experience, you'll get stuck.
Yeah,
definitely. But no desire, that is a big one. Mm. And so what is it that I'm seeking? What is it that Baba hasn't yet given me? At one point again in the Murali, Baba was saying how, and I was very curious about that sentence, because the sentence goes something like, Baba was seeing how yoga has given you all the powers, all the virtues, all the treasures, all the happiness. And I thought to myself, Baba is seeing me in yoga instead of being with me in yoga. I thought it was a very fascinating sentence that Baba spoke. Baba is seeing how in yoga you receive all of these things. But Baba's the one who's giving all these things. But it's like Baba's being the detached observer and watching, okay, this child is in yoga, so this child is receiving all of this. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, that yoga does mean you get that experience, but you don't start with a desire. Mm-hmm. You start with love and the connection with Baba. And the connection with Baba and the feeling that comes is then that experience.
Always a starting point, isn't it, really?
Mm.
The nice yukti Baba gave us when we have any difficulty, say, Baba, my Baba. And many of us trust Baba but are struggling to let go of control in the moment when things aren't going well, which is what a difficulty is. And in that moment, that's, I suppose, what's going on, is the not wanting to let go of control, to just say, Baba, my Baba. So how have you managed this, especially when it comes to action, being in action?
Not so easy, because there's a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And so then sometimes it feels like if I just say, well, Baba's going to take care of it, am I just going to sit back and what do I do? So for me, it's that you try and you do whatever you think needs to happen and you try your best, and then you say, okay, now there's nothing external that I can do. I've done the best that I can and now it's up to Baba. So I don't know whether that's a different degree of faith to the dadis who would say, Baba's in charge and it'll happen, and it would happen. But I think they also had the trust that there were lots of people around them who were going to do the external work that was needed. Mm-hmm. Now, even if it's a simple little program and you're the only one in the center, then if you sit back and say, Baba's going to make it happen, well, you know, nothing would happen. Mm-hmm. But for Dadi, when she had a whole troop around her, she could say, Baba, you'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then she had to trust all of us that we would be accurate in all the running around we were doing. And if we weren't being accurate, then she would give us a signal and tell us that this isn't quite right. But so she kept her eye on everything. Dadi Prakashmani kept her eye on absolutely everything. I remember one particular situation. We were in a different country, and this would have been in the 80s, and so service was fairly new and everything was new. And this person who was the center in charge, and there was only one center in the country, so later she became the national coordinator and different stories then. But Dadi asked her in the morning, what's there for Tuli? And she said, Dadi, somebody else is responsible for that. I don't know, I've left it to them. And Dadi said to her, in Madhuban, I don't make the Tulis, but I ask the sister in charge, what is a Tuli that's going to be distributed today? And the sister was quite shocked that she had to keep tabs on what Tuli there was. And Dadi thought it was an essential part of the whole yagya, that people get toli to give them the Madhuban experience. If Dadiji is there, and you don't expect that to happen every day in class, usually, but when Dadi's there, you're giving them a Madhuban experience, and you do have the toli, but you haven't bothered to find out what it is. So, yeah, the Dadis also kept track of everything, but it was always Baba, Baba.
Right. So the fine line between controlling it and keeping track of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so any tips on this letting go? How do you discern the moment where I can't do any more?
I think you can, because you've tried everything.
When you're up against the wall.
Well, you know what you have to do, and you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, and then you say, okay, Baba, there's nothing more I can do now, it's up to you.
Yeah, very good. All right, thank you. I think we might have time for one more question, but actually I was going to ask you, because we go into meditation now at 7, I was going to ask if you could paint a picture for us of what it looks like to be an easy effort maker for the rest of the Kalpa. That'll be a lovely meditation to start at 7 o'clock after traffic control.
So that's for a commentary.
Maybe, like just a few words to lead us in and just paint the picture for all of us so we can all be together with you as easy effort makers to the end of the confluence age. Yeah. Was there anything else you'd like to say about the Murli before we...
As I say, just the experience of Baba's love. Love as a parent enjoying the children's birthday celebration. Love as the counselor, the psychologist. He knows you're going through a difficult time and he's saying to you, it's okay, you've done it before. You can do it again. And so carry on. Baba's with you. Baba will help you. So that feeling of Baba being happy with the children, Baba giving more love than ever before to the children so that they move forward and they become easy effort makers, Baba not wanting the children to labor. So keep that feeling of Baba's love.
Thank you.
Om Shanti. In this awareness of I, the eternal light, shining in the center of the forehead, I connect with Baba. And Baba's love reaches the soul. And the power of Baba's love is such that following Srimat is natural and easy. And Srimat brings with itself the canopy of protection. And Baba's protection ensures that I can feel Baba's love. I can feel the canopy that protects me from any sorrow, that protects me from any negativity, so that there's only love around me. And in this experience of Baba's love, and the canopy of protection, other things fall away. And I'm safe. And Baba's gifts of joy, of wisdom, of purity, stay with me. And everything looks different from this perspective. The canopy, the gifts, and the love enables me to deal with all my weaknesses so that I move easily to my karmatit stage and my satupradhan stage. Naturally and easily, Baba's love keeps me up above, so sanskars, people and situations stay down below, and I'm able to stay up above. I move forward fast to my destination. The love automatically allows service to unfold. Baba touches intellects and doors open. And Baba's revelation happens easily and naturally, as it did last kalpa. There's an energy of synchronicity that pulls things together and makes them happen. So I don't have to give too much energy or time to think too much. Baba's in charge. Baba's carrying me. And the power of cooperation unfolds to reveal the magic of the drama.